Welcome back to the Edge of Hero podcast, everybody. My name is Kirk Konecki. I'm the CEO, superintendent of Indian Hill Exempted Village School District in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I've got fabulous students here with me today from the high school, Josie Festa and Arjun Verma. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much.
How you doing today? Good?
Yes.
Good. Spring has sprung around Indian Hill, and yeah, a long winter sports season is over. Josie, I mean, I've been a super fan of yours for a few years now. I think I'm correct in saying three straight years on the podium at the state diving tournament and a fourth place finish this year. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
We are so proud of you.
Thanks.
So you are an elite high school student athlete. You're also very humble. However, I've seen you compete, and I see that look in your eyes when it's time to compete. Can you tell us what it's like to be in that moment at the state tournament where you're competing against the best in the state and trying to make that podium? Like, how do you approach that event? Tell us about your mindset, your preparation. What's it like when you're there? Because most of us don't get to experience that.
Yeah. Well, it's very nerve-wracking when I'm on the board. I mean, you have everyone in the entire, like, natatorium just like watching you, so you just know that like all eyes are on you, so it's very nerve-wracking.
how do you focus your mind on what you need to accomplish?
I just think about what dive I'm doing and like how I complete the dive and try and do it well so I can get the score that I want.
And you have to script a certain number of dives, right, where in your mind you're trying to calculate certain scores that you might get. How many rounds of diving go on?
11.
Okay, so then in your mind going into this, you kind of have a blueprint for how you might get the most points?
Yeah.
And the level of difficulty of each dive?
Yes.
How do you approach putting that all together? Is it because you feel more or less confident about certain dives, or you know certain ones will give you more points if you do certain things? How did you decide that kind of script?
A lot of times we do have required dives. It's not like certain dives, but based on your level of difficulty of each, they are required.
And you've practiced several of these, obviously, over the years, so then there's certain ones that probably you feel are like go-to for you?
Yeah.
What's your best dive?
It's a back one half, one half.
Back one half, one half.
Yeah.
And so what are you doing? Obviously, you're jumping backward and doing what?
So you flip backwards one half times, and then you twist one half times.
Okay. And then when you enter the water, what's the magic for a diver to get the best score? With your body, you have to have a certain kind of wake that you leave or splash. Is there something that you're trying to accomplish when you finish the dive?
A lot of times, if you just like stay tight and you like go with water tight, then it'll make like a smaller splash.
Smaller splash, and that's good for score, right?
Yeah, so a bigger score.
You've been doing this with a team, and your teams have excelled in swimming and diving for the last few years. What are you going to take away from this experience as you transition on being a student athlete in Indian Hill High School? What's it mean to you?
Well, it's very special to me because I was able to meet a lot of people, and I was able to just like watch them grow and collaborate them and even be like a team leader. So definitely, yeah.
And helping other people to learn how to kind of do what you do as they move on. I mean, there's a lot of people interested in diving around here now. I think you've had an influence on that for sure. So congrats. And Arjun, we talk about being around a lot of people.
Yeah.
You've been doing robotics now for some time. And these robotics competitions, I don't think most people understand. They can be like crazy environments. So how do you approach that mindset as an individual and with the team? Can you give us a sense for those who listen of what does one of these high intensity robotics competitions look like?
Of course. So I've been doing robotics for 5 years now, and that's come with like a lot of events. One of the most notable is in Dallas, which is the VEX World competition, and it has over 800 teams. And of course, it's like a massive, massive event, and they fit 800 teams into one box, and just keeping together as a team is really difficult. So as a team, we have like certain protocols, like hey, do you have me? And like, we'll all be walking with the robot together to like a competition. No,
like you have some norms about how you're gonna work
all,
as a team.
We all have our own tasks, of course. Like one of us will be holding like the remotes for the robot, the batteries. Someone will be holding, carrying the robot with it. Someone will be carrying the tools, like goggles, like or license plates, which like identify the robot. And as a team, we all know what we have to do to just get the task done.
And there's, again, just like with the diving, right, but in a different venue here, there's a scoring, and there's also, I think, a similar degree of kind of time pressure.
Yeah.
So explain that to listeners. Like, when you get to enter your round of competition, what is the task?
So you're placed in a team of two. So you have your robot and your alliance's robot against two enemy robots. And the goal changes from each season. Last year was disc golf, basically, where you're shooting small little discs into a golf basket. And in that, we talk with the alliance a lot. We talk like, hey, our robot's going to do this during the remote control period where the robot just moves itself. And hey, can you do this with your robot during that time? Or hey, we're in the middle of this match. How can we get above the enemy alliance? Like, can you guys stop them from scoring while we shoot?
When you finish a round, you get a score.
Yeah.
And then you go back, and is it kind of like a round robin tournament? Is it you get a second chance? How does that work?
Robotics is pretty cutthroat. So you have six matches. Usually that's the qualification matches. And then you have the tournament bracket, which are seeded and based on your performance. And during those qualification matches, those probably matter the most, because the tournament can either be just an easy landslide. If you're at the first place, you're going to be facing all the lower teams, or it can be really hard going up the hill, depending on it.
So if I understand correctly, everybody's getting tested, then they're getting re-ranked, and then you're going for whatever final round.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of familiar to me, Josie, right? Like, you're going to these events throughout your career where you're kind of tested out in a couple of early rounds, and then you all kind of end up with this position or placing, right? And who's closest to the podium, but then you've really got to bring your best at the time that it matters to perform, right?
Yes.
There's an intense pressure to that that I think whether you're a student athlete, you're a robotics team member, you're somebody who is performing in front of a panel where it's time to perform, right? That you have to have your mind right and you have to be really focused. So what happens when you fail or you screw up or make a mistake? How do you approach fixing that or adjusting? Like, Josie, how have you learned to cope with failure or not reaching maybe the standard that you thought you had when you were going to go to do a particular dive or maybe even an entire performance? How do you cope with that?
This actually happened at state. I like messed up my second dive, but after that I kind of just try not to think about it, because I know that it'll like upset me if I think about it and affect my other dive, so I won't get as high of a score as I need.
So on a particular dive, if it doesn't go well, you're trying to really regulate your own emotions and then kind of switch gears and focus on the next step?
Yes.
And then how do you improve upon a dive that doesn't go well, especially if it's in your script over and over again? What do you do?
Especially at practice, I work on that dive more and just kind of focus on the techniques of like just like the landing or the takeoff of the dive.
Who's giving you feedback as a diver? Because I think sometimes, right, it can seem like it's a lonely profession. So how do you get feedback besides your own adjustments?
We have a TV that plays back our dives, so we can watch them too, and then also my coaches coaching us and giving us corrections for what we need to do better.
That's great. And Arjun, I'm assuming you guys could watch your performances as well, but then you have some teammates, right, that you can go and debrief, and you guys kind of do like an after-action review?
Of course. During Worlds, we actually filmed every single competition match that we had, and we always watch back the tapes for not only how we play, but also how our enemies play, and like if that could be a better strategy that we adopt. And we went about that for every single match. It actually helped us do really well in the tournament bracket.
And when you came home from Dallas, like, what are your big takeaways besides where you finished in the tournament? Like, in terms of the team, the development of the program, I mean, you've been a part of this, like you said, for a long time. Where were we and where are we now as a program?
Yeah, many of us were juniors that year, so it took a lot of just like understanding of developing of exactly what do we want out of a robot every single time. And that's something that we came away really well with from Dallas is that, hey, there's a lot of different robots that you can make. Like every team has their own like unique features, and we just need to have our own bottom line is the main thing that we learned from that.
You're almost competing against yourself and your own skill set, right, and what you've brought to the table more so than competing against the enemy, so to speak.
Of course.
And really, Josie, I mean, what you've shared is that you do a lot of fine-tuning, but you're really competing against your own kind of personal best each time that you get out there, right?
Yeah.
But within a team atmosphere. And I have to tell you, like, I've been around lots of activities in school for lots of years. The fans that you both have in your respective activities, they're nuts. They're crazy, right? Like, if you come into a pool environment during swim season, your eardrums may burst. And the same goes for the robotics. So how does that matter to you, Arjun?
It's kind of stressful sometimes. Like, of course, you're going to be hearing a lot of people shouting in the audience, like, do this, do that. But you really just have to drone them out. There's no point of listening to the audience set up a lot.
So the hype is fun until it's time to focus, and then you really have to kind of drown that out.
Yeah.
Okay. And Josie, how do you feel like? I mean, do you look forward to that full day swim and dive, you know, event where everybody's together and you hear all that, the team camaraderie and the cheers that are so unique going on and all that screaming under the water?
I actually do look forward to it because the swim meets are super loud, and it's like, it's just a fun environment to be in. And then actually when the dive meets are like competing, it's completely silent.
Yeah.
Like there's no one talking. Like if you drop a phone in the bleachers, like it's like loud.
You can feel the intensity, right?
Yeah.
But the adrenaline, it gets you going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So when you're not competing, what is the typical high school student who's involved in 20 things plus these extra activities, thinking about the next stage of their life? What are you doing to decompress or to relax? What are you doing for fun when you're not working, Josie?
I often just come home and just relax and watch TV. Like after, if my homework's finished, if all my practices are done, I just lay around.
You make some time.
Yeah.
And you've got a really busy schedule, right, with this routine. So I'm assuming hours before and after school practicing?
Yes.
And then how do you work your homework and your schoolwork into that when you have such an intense season that's so long?
I often try and do it as soon as I get home from school. I only have like 20 minutes. So I do as much as I can in the 20 minutes. And then oftentimes I do it after practice when I get home.
Okay. So some late nights sometimes.
Yeah.
And then you got to make sure you get some sleep too.
Yes.
Arjun, what about you? I mean, regulating your time, right? It's parents out there and adults in the world, they don't remember what high school's like once they leave. They think they know, but it's, you know, they were here 20 some years ago and it's changed a lot. But how do you regulate your time?
I mean, it's a lot of just stuff happening throughout the day. So I just try to manage and balance, like, hey, if I have like a chem packet that's due the next day, like, I'll focus on that. If something's due next 2 days, I'll be like, okay, I'll do that next day if I can. And just balancing, just like seeing what is the main important thing is always important.
So kind of prioritizing.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good to know that you do that. What's the go-to snack or meal of choice when it's like, you know, celebrating post-game? Like if you had to pick, Arjun, what's your choice?
Post-game, I don't usually eat that much. Like, I'm always so tired at the end of it. Like, I guess victory nap is always nice
victory
for me.
Victory nap, okay. Well, what about when you need your go-to food of choice? What is that around here?
Go-to food? I would think any fruit is really what I like to eat. I mean, of course, there's always, like, chips and cookies, but then, like, I always get kind of, like, drowsy when I eat stuff like that.
So you're a fruit fan?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. That's healthy. Josie, what about you? Is there like a celebration meal that you like or a go-to snack? Like, what's your treat?
I like Chick-fil-A.
Oh, okay. And what's your Chick-fil-A order?
12-piece chicken nugget meal.
Okay. Particular sauce?
Ranch.
Okay. Good for you, Josie. So you're both thinking a little bit about future transitions. Arjun, tell us a little bit about how does somebody your age in a modern comprehensive high school think about your future and whether you're doing, you know, college, job, military, whatever. How are you narrowing down your choices right now?
A lot of my extracurriculars do influence, of course. So robotics is a big one. Like, I get to see kind of like what an engineer would do. And that's kind of led me to biomedical engineering. And of course, that's not exactly like just mechanical engineering or any typical, because I do like having that compassionate part. And that's come from a lot of my service activities that I've done. One of them was Special Olympics, where I'm actually a swim coach. So I helped coach these individuals with disabilities. And that showed me a lot of like, wow, I really like helping people and getting to know what their certain issues are. And I think biomedical works great with that.
And so you're looking for schools that have that as a specialty?
Yeah, a lot of schools have it, but I look for certain programs, certain opportunities that I would get at that certain college that would be.
Tell us two or three that would be on your mind in that area.
Of course. So Georgia Tech is one of the big ones. They actually have a collaboration with Emory University's Medical Center. So it's really great. You get to work in Georgia Tech, which is a great engineering school, but then you can also take a direct bus to Emory University for their hospital. And like that combination, I thought was so good and really cool.
Sure, that's a great example. I appreciate you sharing that. Josie, how about you when you think about narrowing the field of choices in front of you? What do you do? What's your strategy?
I often just kind of think about what I like to do just kind of on a daily basis. I'm super indecisive, so I don't know quite yet, but I just kind of think about what I enjoy doing.
And are you exploring work or school, military? Like, what are you exploring right now?
I am diving in college, so I'm just kind of focusing.
You want to tell people where and what you've committed to?
I've committed to Duquesne.
Duquesne, and you're going to be diving, and that is going to be, again, a large commitment, right, at the college level?
Yes.
Yeah, and Duquesne is known for some really specific programs, but you're going to be moving and living in a new place, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about it? Is that exciting to you?
It's really exciting. I get to meet a whole new family, I guess. Like, it's like a big group of girls that I will become really close with over the next 4 years.
And did you make that decision because you were getting that feeling during the recruiting process and that you were able to connect with people who gave you that feeling?
Yeah, it was almost just like a second home as soon as I got there.
Yeah, I mean, that's great when you can have that emotional fit, right? And feel like this is somewhere I could feel like home and build good relationships. That's really important for people to make that choice, right? What's the takeaway here from the people who you've worked with over the years? If there's somebody who stands out in your mind, K through 12, like when you think back about your experiences at Indian Hill, Arjun, is there a teacher that you say, like, I'm never gonna forget this person because they just had such an impression on me? Like, is there someone you would pick?
I think I choose Mrs. Dunlap. And so my junior year, I decided to take Calculus BC, which is a pretty taxing class. And of course, I was pretty nervous at first. And I think Mrs. Dunlap did give me a lot of support throughout it and was really supportive through the entire thing. And I think it just made the experience a lot more better. And like, I actually love math a lot now. And I've taken a lot more math classes besides beyond that, just because of what I had in that class.
So you knew it was going to be a rigorous course.
Yeah.
And then you had a teacher that also helped you navigate through it.
Yeah.
That's great. I love to hear that about our teachers. Josie, what about you? When you think back, is there someone who really stands out in your mind?
I would say Dr. Watson.
Doc okay.
Watt.
Yeah.
He's just a super funny, like, nice and understanding teacher, and he's helped me and like with just kind of everything English related. He helped me with my college essay a lot, and he just helped me understand like how to write and just be more like
chill.
Yeah.
That's a skill, right? Learning how to write. And then also, obviously, when you have to apply it for something like a college essay, that's a big deal. But you have a relationship with a teacher that you know is lasting, that's had that impression on your skills. That's great to hear, and inspirational for me to hear. Of course, I'm proud of our faculty and staff, but when I can see that in you, that's really cool. when you think back, you know, like, let's propel ourselves forward 5 years from now, and, you know, we're moving on into the adult world and getting a job and a career and doing whatever else we're doing. When you think back, right, you get a little nostalgic. What is the thing you're going to remember that was, like, the most fun that you got to have in high school at Indian Hill? I mean, is there something that you just, like, oh, that's it? Like, I'm never going to forget that because we had just so much fun that day. I mean, is there something, Arjun, that you would think to?
I mean, I don't think any one event comes to mind, but of course, every single room that I've been in does have some certain memory. Like, when I'm in robotics, I'll remember like a funny moment that happened in this exact class. When I'm in a chemistry lab, I'll remember something funny that happened that made me laugh a lot. And when I just come back to that room, that memory will appear.
Yeah, and some impressions with your friends and maybe who you were learning with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's okay. What about you, Josie? You think of anything in particular?
I do agree with that. I mean, every event was like kind of special in its own way. You have your own memories that you created with your friends at that event. And so it's just the individual memories that you made in each certain place.
Yeah, and hopefully good memories, right? I hope overall. So last question, as you move forward, what is like your hope for your experience next year?
I just hope for like a fun experience that I get to learn a lot. Like, I mean, going to college is kind of scary, of course. So just like navigating that and just being on track, I guess.
Yeah, I appreciate you both being really honest about hopes and fears today, because I think it's important for people to know, right? You're young adults, and then when you transition, you make these big decisions. There's a lot that you think about and a lot that goes into it, and you're both serious thinkers. I know that about you. What about you, Josie, when you think about this? What's it going to be like, and what do you hope for?
I hope for a fun experience as well. I hope to become really close with my friends and just be really on top of all of my schoolwork and just have a memorable time.
If you feel prepared and you feel like you can cope when you get there, right, hopefully that's going to make you feel good about what you did here, and the more that you feel prepared and the more emotionally controlled you'll probably be, and the more fun you can have. You two are great examples of Braves who I think are always wearing your heart on your sleeve, always trying to be positive, and always thinking about those things and being caring for others. And on top of it, you're these amazing, skillful, fierce competitors. And, you know, I think that's such a great combination. I appreciate you sharing some time today on the Edge of Hero podcast. We wish you both the best, and we're very proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.